if you do it 100%, after 3 years, you have to. There should be a basis of practice where you, you're just only interested in practice. But when I look at you, you're always interested in everything else than practice. And everything is interesting. Who is coming, you know? Who is giving what, you know? I mean, what is there, you know? Can I eat this, you know? Can I have that, yeah? That means you don't have a basis of practice that you're interested.
May I ask you a question? What was the reason why Lungta started to practice? What was his goal? What was his motivation?
Well, after you ordained, he wanted to know, you know, a little bit of practice, but I mean, he was also studying, yeah, in the beginning, yeah, when he started, you can read it in biography, when he started the texts about, you know, the hardships with the Lord Buddha and all the arahants went through, yeah?
Yeah.
Then he got really interested.
On the path.
Yeah. On the path, yeah. I mean, he had to study for 7 years, yeah, but I mean, then he took up, you know, walking meditation, Buddha, 1 or 2 hours a day, and the rest he was studying.
And how was it with you? What pushed you so hard then?
What?
What pushed you yourself so hard to?
Dukkha. I mean, I clearly saw dukkha. I mean, I had everything. I worked, you know, I had everything what I wanted, yeah. Okay. I mean, I knew that having more is not making me happy, yeah. I had the freedom of work, and you know, I didn't have any time, you know, from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I could go whenever I wanted, you know, and leave when I wanted. So, I mean, I had all the freedom. I had money.
And happiness.
But unhappy. Completely unhappy, dissatisfied, discontent. And then, I mean, how do you say? I stumbled across meditation, yeah. And then I tried it, you know, for 10 days, you know, and then I saw the results of it. And then, I mean, it's just like, you know, you have a piece of meat, you know, you really want it. And you don't let it go, no matter what, you know, just like a gecko, whatever he has in his mouth, he doesn't let it go. And that's what I, and then I never, ever let go. Just took 10 days. To reach some sort of calmness.
This hunger or determination is the key, but it's the question is how to arouse it, right?
Yes. The question, you know, I mean, for me, you know, I just came in. I mean, if you never eat meat, you know, and you suddenly see, taste the meat, you know, I mean. But then, I mean, of course, you know, that will vanish after a while. And then my big motivation was there when I reflected about my life. Just from the first year until, you know, 30. And then I asked myself, do you want to go through this again? I reflected very carefully. And that was then the motivation. Each time, you know, I was slacking up in my practice, I said, do you want to be born again? And the answer instantly came out, no. So, what to do? Go on with practice. Or when there were hardships, you know, I mean, you want to stop practicing now? No. Okay, go. Just go through.
It seems like life is so tempting from moment to moment, but looking at it from a bit further away, you see really the up and downs one goes through all the time.
Yeah, and all the dukkha. And
yeah.
And the dissatisfaction, even if you have a good life like me.
Yeah.
There's so much discontent. So dukkha certainly was one of the one biggest motivation, and together with the question. So I reflected in constant about what is happening in the practice each evening. Or what is happening, you know, in my life while I was still good.
So it's almost like you took the determination on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah.
So
sure.
You see, like, actually.
I mean, after this 10-day retreat, I arranged everything my whole life around meditation. Not like other people, they arrange their life and they put meditation within their life. No? I said meditation and everything is okay. Is within meditation, in my heart. And that makes a complete difference. Because you have top priority meditation and everything else comes later. Even if I had to go to the airport, normally I got up at 7 o'clock, you know, and went to work at 9 o'clock, so I had 1 hour of meditation before. And I had to go to the airport at 6 o'clock, you know, I woke up at 4 o'clock, you know, and had my meditation before I went to the airport. There was no way that I'm going to miss any hour. I wouldn't let that happen. No excuse, there was no excuse for me to let that happen. Friends coming, party, nothing. Everything after. Meditation first, you know, and then go meet your friend. I meet my friends and then do meditation, that doesn't work. So first is meditation and then everything else. And that was, I mean, I don't know, it was a determination. That was this experience I had after in this 10-day retreat on the ninth day. It was so cool, you know, I mean, it really gave him the determination not to let that go. But now you become monks, you know, and that's it. Being a monk, you know, doesn't lead to nirvana. It's leading to being a monk, you know, and that is nothing else, you know, than a different aspect of the worldly life. Even there, you know, even being a monk, I mean, you have to put your priorities straight. Yeah? Yes, there are duties that we have to do, but do it within the context of practice. When you are praying, you know, and I'm wrong, I mean, then do it. Yeah? Be with Buddha all the time. I mean, you have ample of time. Actually, you can sit, you know, close your eyes and wait until it is finished. Arranging this and that. I remember when I was waiting for the bus, 10 minutes, I was sitting down, closing my eyes and doing Buddha. I did Anapanasati, but then. Waiting in the airport, Buddha. Closing eyes, not interested in what's going on around. This kind of determination, you have to set the priorities straight. And you have to reflect each evening, what is going on? What the hell is going on? That was my question that was always, I mean, came up in my day, you know, I mean, I don't know how many times. What's going on? What are you doing? You know what you're doing. I mean, it just came out automatically. Not just dragging through the day, I mean, you're good at dragging through the day, but then you have no set. Doing this, what shall I do now? Doing that. Instead of, what is going on? Why do I want to do this? Why do I want to do that? Who the hell tells me to do this or to do that? But of course, sleeping or daydreaming is much easier. it's nothing else, you know, than people taking alcohol. It's the same reason. Blur out the mind, you know. You can blur it out by alcohol, or we can blur it out by daydream.
I think that's what everyone does.
Yes.
I mean, everyone, like, in normal life, that's what we do. We don't look.
Yeah.
We just try to get distracted by it. And of course, it's very hard to look.
No, we are not trying to get distracted. I mean, we just don't know that we're getting distracted.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know anything. Like, we don't know what is going on in the in our life. Yeah. And you have, you know, if you are really on the path of practice, you have to know what is going on in your life. What are you doing? What is the reason why you're doing it? And what are the results if you do it? That is something that you have to examine. You cannot leave any stone, yeah, unturned. It was a nice album from you, right? You don't know this hard rock band. You know, you right here?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
With a mirror on the album, look at yourself. Great album and great text. I mean, the '70s. I mean, the rock stars at that time, I mean, some of them really had great taste.
There are many people that say great things, but they didn't do it.
No, of course they didn't do it. You know, they got the experience with other things, with drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still. For the people who listen to it, I mean, when you listen to the text now of the rock music, there's no text. I mean, this, what is it, this, I don't even know what these were anymore. There was no meaning, yeah? I mean, the rock music in the 70s brought meaning to the youngsters. Not all of them, but, you know, I mean, quite a few groups. To question life. And if you hear, if you like the music, and if you hear the songs, you know, and they go deeper, you know, then you start automatically thinking. But that was, you know, I mean, it was the come of the people who were born at the time. To get, you know, inspired by these things. You know, and the 70s were, you know, in a way, were quite inspiring. Also in terms of school, I mean, the teachers were open-minded, they were reflecting about what they were doing. Now everything is a scheme. I mean, it's a plan.
Well, I think we have the good karma to sit here together.
I mean, you have the good karma to sit there together, but you didn't go through the education until.
Well, everyone goes his path, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is no choice.
You have the good karma to sit here, you know, you have the good karma to listen to some instructions. The problem is, you know, you are too lazy to take them up. Just letting life pass by, and that's not. What the hell is going on? What am I doing right now, and why am I doing it? Yeah? Who tells me to do this? These questions that must pop up in your head, you know, at least 10 or 20 times a day. Then, I mean, you can correct something. Otherwise, I mean, it's just sleeping away, Alex, huh? All what I can say, get your act together. I mean, I told you all the methods how to get your act together. And one important thing is doing careful reflection. What are you doing? How do you waste your time? And you will see it, you know, you just need to look, yeah? How you waste your time during the day, doing this and doing that, you know, I mean, it just eats up. It just eats up all the time, and then suddenly you have only 2 or 3 hours for meditation practice.
Now they were very helpful. They have me a lot now, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the last 2 weeks. I'm talking about the last 3 years.
Yeah, but still, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, great. Yes.
It's very nice.
That's the least that they can do.
No, it's not. It's a standard.
Did you get what I said?
Just
now, to get some control into your life, some questions, some reflection, and what you're doing. I mean, how can you not notice, you know, if you're dull, you know, for days on end? If you really sit down in the evening and look, you know, what is going on? I mean, how can there be dullness?
Please. I only stop meditating when I sit and I'm just falling asleep, and then I have to do the reflection, so I'm already only stopping because I'm going to go to sleep, so I'm already so tired.
And you're not tired, you know, I mean, I told you, you know, I mean, the key point is, you know, if you feel tired, I mean, to get something, an interesting thought, you know, something that upsets you, yeah, just think about a situation that upset you during the day, you know, and you're instantly, I mean, you have all the energy back, and then you can do the reflection. Or think about things, you know, that you hated in the past, yeah?
How is it, if one would like to choose to make reflection first thing, waking up in the morning?
There's nothing to reflect about, you know, I mean, you can reflect about your sleep, but...
No, but I mean, about the last day, and so take the determination to say, okay, now another day.
Yes.
Another day where I can really...
Yeah, I mean, when I talk about the reflection, I mean, that is the second part of the reflection. What I saw in the evening, you know, to remember or to remind oneself, you know, in the morning, oh, I have to be careful here, I have to be careful here, I have to be careful here. That's the second part of the reflection. But if the reflection, normally it is pretty fresh, yeah? I mean, of course you can do it, you know? I mean, if you have good sati, I mean, you can reflect about what happened last night in the morning, yeah?
Because I have the same problem as Ulrich. Like, if you do the reflection, the last thing, usually the last thing is...
because you give in to the tiredness, you haven't even thought tiredness. What is tiredness? The moment you think about something interesting, tiredness instantly gone.
Yes, but we are.
So why don't you do that before the reflection?
No, this I can do sometimes fighting tiredness. But as you said, you can fight it. Me usually says, oh, just with sati on the feeling, or you can bring thoughts. But when you bring the thought of the evening reflection, it's even worse than the Buddha. So the tiredness comes back. So for this, where we are now.
Yeah.
So. The counter solution for me was either doing this the first thing in the morning, do a little bit of samadhi, and then doing the reflection of the day before. So this is, but you have, it's less fresh, but at least you are awake and you can do it. Or was the first thing I was doing when I come back after sweeping, like at 4, 5, or 6, then I do at that moment because
I never most said of the day that it should be the last thing in the day. I mean, do it whenever you feel comfortable.
Because if we do it around 6, most of the day, because then we are just at our puti, so most of the actions are gone.
Okay. Because I see it with the chanting, for me the chanting is the last, and so the service is like, the chanting now, and the evening chanting is not so nice like the morning chanting.
It's not the last thing that, I never said it should be the last thing. I just said do it in the evening. I mean, it can be early evening or late evening, you know, whatever is suitable. And do it, or do it in the morning, you know, see, you know, just get a handle on it. I mean, you wasted so much time. I mean, if you wasted time, you know, being in samadhi all the time, I wouldn't say anything. Because that's not a waste. It sharpens the concentration. But you wasted, you know, being dull or being, you know, being sleepy or disinterest. I mean, that is the biggest thing. having interest, what is going on? And if you know, I mean, 100% concentration is 100% interest. 20% interest is 20% concentration. Because without interest, there's no concentration. It just blows up. And we are not interested because, I mean, we see the dukkha. And dukkha is the first noble truth. Yeah? I mean, how often explained how important the first noble truth is. To see the dukkha, to see the discontent, you know. The discontent in getting up, the discontent to do this, you know, to washing your body, you know, and things like that. The discontent even, you know, the eating. You know, all what you see is the pleasure. You don't want to see the discontent. You don't want to see the first noble truth. And without the first noble truth, there is no fourth noble truth. And it's not the first time I talk about it. I talked about it so often. And the more we can see the discontent, I mean, the more motivation we have. If we don't see it, I don't like this, you know. I mean, it just passes by, and in our evening reflection or in our reflection, it doesn't pop up, so we don't see it. So we miss out on the first noble truth. If we miss out on the first noble truth, we miss out on the fourth noble truth. The path that leads to the end of dukkha. If you don't see dukkha, you know, that's why we are satisfied with what we have, you know. So, I mean, why do we need to go to the end of dukkha? I mean, if we are already satisfied. We are happy, yes. I mean, yes, this is a great life. I mean, if somebody, you know, can take up these 227 roots, you know, I mean, it's a great life. Yeah? And there's no need, you know, to do meditation. Or a lot of meditation. You just can lie around, you know, and sleep your way until you die. Yeah? Or do this and do that, you know, I mean, talk with this person, talk with that person, eat this, or eat that, drink this, drink that. I mean, it's a fine life. Yeah? Everything is provided for us. Yeah? And that's why you don't see the dukkha. Because you long it, you know, you latch onto these things that you think they are pleasant, but you haven't investigated them properly, so you don't see that they are actually unpleasant. That is content. That dukkha. I mean, how much do we have to care for this body? Without this body, I mean, we wouldn't need to do all these work.
When you did the reflection in the evening, or this day reflection, did you focus on the dukkha part mainly?
No, I just focused on whatever happened. Yeah. What did I think about when I was brushing my teeth? That helps us getting our memory, getting our sati, you know, to work on this. Yeah. I don't know, okay, then go next. What did you do after? I went to the toilet. How was it? Yeah. Then I ate something, you know, how was that? You know, what was the experience like, you know? And re-experience, you know, what it was like. Yeah? Then I thought about this, you know, what did you think about, you know, when you drove to work, you know? Or when you do this, yeah?
Did you think so about the cause, why?
No, never. Why? Why is not a question I never ask.
Okay.
Because it leads only to thinking. It never gives us the experience. The experience actually tells us what is happening, why it is happening. You know, it is only in the long run that we will understand more and more the why.
Yes.
But we cannot ask this question because, I mean, we don't know the answer.
Yeah. Maybe why is wrong, what I mean maybe is to see that when I had a nice thought, there was a reason why I had it. Maybe I saw something. I would not have seen it, then that what I've seen put something in my head and I find it pleasurable all of a sudden. Or I see something, I feel it comes in my head and it is.
Yeah, but that is intellectually doing it. Yeah. What I did is, you know, I mean, what came before? So if I had a pleasant thought, what came before?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, rolling back.
Yeah.
Rolling back in time and not not thinking about it. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, just rolling back and seeing, before this pleasant thought came a very unpleasant feeling. Yeah. Before this unpleasant feeling came a came a memory. Before this memory came this, you know, before that came that, you know. Yeah. And then until you find, you know, actually, you know, the cause of all of it. But asking for the cause will never get you the answer.
Yeah.
You have to roll back, you know, in your experience. Yeah? Practice is all about experience, not about thinking of cause and effect. Yeah?
Yeah.
Seeing cause and effect, you know, gives us insight.
Yeah.
Thinking about cause and effect doesn't give us any insight.
No.
It just makes us things clear, you know, and it works in the same way that, you know, that we were brought up. Just having knowledge. That's why. Yeah. But it has nothing to do with what is actually happening.
Yes.
So why is not a question you should ask? What the hell is happening? I mean, that is, you can ask. What came before? That is something you can ask.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
How did I experience that?
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
So get your act together, huh? Three years, you know, it's a fourth pancha already, you know? And you have not yet a basis of practice. A steady basis of practice means steadily going on in meditation, in practicing. That's a basis when you have the basis. Where you're more interested in the practice than in anything else. That doesn't mean that you're not interested in other things. Yes, you're still interested in other things. But the main topic of your life is practice. Being interested in the practice. And then it rolls up.
Do you mean just formal meditation or just saying to go the whole day?
Yeah, formal meditation. Yeah, I mean really formal meditation, because that is the work of a samana. Doing chankram, walking chankram, and sitting in samadhi. Everything else, you know, I mean we can use it, you know, to develop sati, but it's not formal practice. Because once you sit still, you see the kilesas coming up. If you do something, I mean you're not so easily or not so clearly see what is going on. Because you're already active.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still an important part, right?
I mean,
the bridge.
It is an important part, you know, if you have to do things, you know, to do it with sati, you know, silently and fast.
Okay. Well, I try to get fast from my rope and all those things.
That is something that will take slow, you know, I mean, that will get it faster over time. But, you know, also sweeping, you know, not to think around, you know, just to look.
Yeah.
I mean, just if you look with sati, you know what there is to do. Yeah. If you have to think about what should I do now and should I do now, I mean, it's just thinking.
Yeah.
Sati gives you instantly, you know, I mean, you see a leaf, you know, on the floor, you know, you have to lift it up. Huh? That is sati. You know, if you don't have sati, you see the leaf, you know, and say, why bother, you know. And go on. That's when you don't have sati. Thinking about where to sweep, what to do, you know, especially when you're my upatthaya, constantly thinking about what you have to do, instead of looking what needs to be done.
But is it correct to say that one who is strong in sati, when he looks, he can just look?
Yeah.
And the condition of a normal person would be that he looks quick and thinks a lot afterwards.
He never stops thinking.
Well, but he sees the leaves too. But he sees it for a very short moment and thinks then about things, right?
So well, he sees it. And, I mean, if you have sati, you will see what is happening. You see that leaf. You know that, actually, you know, for a very short time, you know, that you have to pick it up. And then instantly the kilesa said, it's too bothersome. And then you go on. That's when you don't have that sati. because you don't see the thoughts coming up. Yeah. When you have sati, you see these thoughts coming up, and you instantly can counteract the poops. Just go down. And even worse is, you know, I mean, just seeing the leaf and nothing, you know, because you're still lying in your thoughts. Of what shall I do now, you know? I mean, also, you see it also, but it is so short, you know, I mean, there's no reaction coming up, yeah? Because you're all in your plans.
Yeah.
And that's why Upatak, you know, being the Upatak of your teacher is such an important training. But I haven't seen any improvement in the last 3 years.
Since the first day?
Well, I mean, I don't remember the first day. I would say within the last year.
But I think with this, well, it obviously it's so short time, so I don't know. But it feels to me like one who becomes a monk, when one comes from worldly life, one is used to get into companies or institution or whatever, and so there's always this competition and things, right? And so one can become a monk like that too, with that feeling. Like,
yeah, what do you want to say? Of course, yes.
So this kind of this worldly kind of thing, right? And I think this is something which, well, I just see in myself that how it was, you know, when I was apprentice over there in a bank, and there is this obviously this tendency through all this conditioning that this can happen here exactly the same, right? And this kind of needs to be talked to kids, you know, so that the object is not out, so it's in, you know?
Yes, but I really don't understand why you say that, because that is what is happening. I mean, Lungda says this very clearly, the moment, you know, somebody ordains as a monk, he ordains, you know, the body is ordained, but the kilesas are not ordained.
Yes, that's what I mean.
And that's why he lives, you know, I said it before. That's why we live as a monk, you know, I mean, it's a very comfortable life.
Exactly.
But we just look, you know, live it in a worldly fashion.
But we need, that's what we need to find, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Because that's it is a very big tendency. I just see that these things.
Yes, you become a monk, and with this, you know, becoming a monk, nothing has actually changed. You just change, you know, the environment and the condition.
Yeah.
But internally, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
And that's what you see with 95% of all the monks. Yeah. Nothing has changed. You know, they're just living, you know, with different clothes, you know, and with different set of rules.
Yeah.
But it's still better, you know, than to live, you know, in a convent.
Yeah.
Yes, of course,
yeah.
Because you have the rules, you know,
yeah.
And as long as the monks abide to the rules, they will form over time, they will form this person.
Yeah.
But still, you know, yes, of course, you know. I mean, if you don't do anything, I mean, but you can also, on the other hand, you know, just like I did the first 2 or 3 years before, you know, ordaining, yeah. I mean, I lived the monk life of a contemplative or a samana, you know, within the world.
I think only very few can do that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I agree with that. Yeah, completely agree with that. Only few can do it, you know. It's only if you have this determination.
Yeah.
If you put, you know, if you pull your life around, yeah. But for a lot of people, you know, and especially Westerners, being a monk, you know, is something that is desirable, you know, and then they become a monk, you know, and that's it. They just change their profession. Now, sati is the most important thing that we have to develop, and we develop it through concentration. Through our concentration practice, sati develops. Yeah. Because we cannot hold our concentration if we do not improve our sati. sati is part of concentration, and it will develop as concentration. In the beginning, we just, you know, try to concentrate on the Buddha, and then later on we develop, you know, in order to hold our concentration, we have to develop interest in the object. That means, you know, we have to observe, and with observing, you know, comes sati. I mean, all what I can say, please, you know, I mean, I have nothing, I mean, for months now, I have nothing to say to you. Because there's no progress. There's just disinterest, I would say. Not disinterest in living a monk life. I won't say that. There's just this interest in, you know, in really being alert. Yeah? Because sati is also alert, being aware, being alert. And this disinterest, you know, I mean, has been going on for months now, for years. Not in the first year. But then after that, after you feel comfortable, and that might also happen to you, Martin, you know, I mean, after you feel comfortable, you know, I mean, you get lost in that life. The danger is they're always there. If one doesn't, from the first day, you know, put whatever is worldly activity within the context of our main goal, meditation or practice.
So what is our main goal?
Practice. Sati panya.
But what is real, the real goal?
Yeah, I mean sati panya. I mean in the, going, yeah.
Yeah, to be non.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the real goal of a samana is, you know, to end dukkha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't do that, you know. I mean,
yeah, of course. It's
because you don't have the tools, yeah?
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you can't think about Beijing, you know, if you're still stuck in Bangkok.
Yeah.
Yeah?
But I find what you did, right, when you said you don't want to be born again,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to go grow up again, mm-hmm. and then go to school again, and then go to your teenage years
yeah.
again.
Oh,
that's kind of, there's a different goal, right? It's this goal of liberation of that.
Yeah. I mean,
but of course, the past is a different one than, like,
no, it's the same.
It's a motivation, right?
It's a motivation that leads to the same result. I mean, not to be reborn, you know, is the same thing as the end of dukkha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, I mean, no matter what, you know, I mean, if there is too much dukkha, but, you know, if you don't want to be reborn, I mean, it's the same path.
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, right. it depends on you, it depends on your characteristic tendencies, what motivates you the most, yeah.
Yeah. But that's the object we need to say every day.
Yeah, you have to, you know, I mean, the moment you feel slacken up on your practice, you know, I mean, you say, what? Yeah?
Yeah?
Or if you're afraid of something, if you're afraid of going to hell, and then say, okay, if I don't practice, you know, I'll still go to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in 100 lives.
Yeah.
1,000 lives or...
Yeah, I mean, no matter how long, you know, because we don't know. I mean, we don't know the mountain of karma that is behind it. Yeah. Or above our head, you know, that comes down the moment we die. We just have, you know, one piece of that karma, you know, for this life, and the rest of the karma is still up, you know, just like the sword of Damocles, you know, above our heads.
Yeah.
We don't know what is going to happen because we have no idea. But what we can do is, you know, go with sati, you know, training until the last breath, you know, and then have sati to decide which way to go. If you don't have sati in the last phase, you know, of death, where everything is torn apart, where there's the utmost pain, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Just a short moment, you know, before everything, you know, before everything is gone, you know, I mean, there's this utmost pain. And if you lose sati in that moment, you know, I mean, you lost. You know, I mean, you lost to your karma. Yes, if you practice, you know, your whole life towards the direction, you might be able, you know, to go that path along. Yeah? But if there's some bad karma, you know, if just this pain reminds you, you know, of putting somebody to death, you know, in a previous life, you know, I mean, you might go to hell. We don't know what kind of memories come up, you know, in that kind of moment. And this kind of moment is important, you know, for directing us to this path or that path. So, I mean, fear can help, you know, motivation can help, you know, I mean, being fed up with this life, you know, can help. I mean, you have to look what kind of things motivate you. But it's not the first time I tell you this, yeah?
I think that's something which is always good to hear.
Okay.